Merry Christmas. Come on in. We know we have some people in the back, and what if you could do them all a favor and scooch in? Let's make a little bit more space. So if you have a little gap between you and the person next to you, go ahead and scooch in. And then everybody in the back, we can find some seats over here, and we're all going to get cozy. Hey, my name is Neil, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I hope that tonight changes your life. You know, when you were born, you changed your family's life. What a joy when you were born. When Jesus was born, joy to the world. He changed the world's life. And I hope tonight, I pray tonight, that what God does in us would change your life forever. All right, I'm going to ask my friends to help me out with a little table and an easel. And we're going to get started. Thanks, you guys. So I have three kids in my family, and come on through. And my babies changed how I drive forever. I was a pretty good driver, you know, pretty safe, no speeding tickets, no accidents. But then when my wife and I took our kids in from the hospital in the car carrier and clicked them into place, all of a sudden, 10 and 2, nice and slow. You go ahead in front of me. Yeah. Slowly stopping, slowly accelerating to maybe 1 or 2 miles an hour below the speed limit. Ha! He cut me off. Don't you know there's a baby on board? All of a sudden, I became a really great driver. Apologies to anybody who is driving behind somebody taking their kids home from the hospital. The moment you were born, you changed your family's life forever. Now, there's two types of time. And the Bible speaks about both types of time. There is Chronos time and there is Kairos time. Chronos time and Kairos time are Greek words. Chronos time is calendar time. It's clock time. We get the word chronology from Chronos. And Kairos time is significant moment time. When you were born, it was a Chronos moment. Your birth date is a Chronos moment. And right now, today is a Chronos time. It is December 24th. At approximately 4:14 in the afternoon. That's Chronos time. Kairos time is a significant moment. It's a change your life kind of time. Your birthday is also a Kairos moment. It's the moment that your life changed forever. It's also the moment that your family changed forever. When you were born into the world, joy to your family, to the world. The birth of my kids is a Kairos time. The death of my grandparents is a Kairos time. The Bible verse that resonated with me just so deeply, the way my friend left me out of the chat, Kairos moments. If you know me, you know that when I eat a chocolate chip cookie, it's Kairos time. Significant moment time. Kairos moments are small moments or they could be big moments. And if we pay attention to them, if we notice them, they'll actually change our lives forever. Here is your Chronos timeline. You go along. You're born. Pretty significant moment. You build friendships, the Kairos moments. Maybe you graduate. Anybody graduated from high school here? I see a few hands. Some people are still working on it. You can do it. You can do it. And throughout your life, you have these Kairos moments on your Chronos timeline. And on you go. And then eventually you'll die. We'll all die. Which is a Kairos moment for us. Tonight we're celebrating Jesus Christ's birth. Here's Jesus' timeline. Let me box these. These are not part of the timelines here. Here's Jesus' timeline. Jesus' timeline actually starts from eternity past. And then God creates the world. And he creates Adam and Eve. This beautiful circle right here looks like the world.
Absolutely.
God creates Adam and Eve, and sin enters the world. And then God chooses Abraham and Sarah. And then they go to Egypt, and they become slaves for 400 years in Egypt, God's chosen people. And then they cry out to God for help, and God sends Moses. He sets them free. He leads them across the Red Sea, into the desert, into the promised land. And then Israel has some rulers. Israel has some good rulers, and Israel has some not very good rulers. Kairos moments for the nation. And then Israel has some prophets, some religious leaders, some shepherds. Israel has some pretty good shepherds, and Israel has some not very good shepherds. All these Kairos moments. Then Israel gets captured by the nation of Assyria and the nations of Babylon and Persia, and they go into exile. Terrible Kairos moments for the nation of Israel. And then they're in exile for years and years. And then they come back from exile. And then Jesus Christ is born on this Chronos timeline. And the world is forever changed. In fact, Chronos time is forever changed by the Kairos of Jesus being born. Did you know that? That we actually base our entire calendars, our entire chronologies, off of the birth of Jesus Christ. Leading all these years past were years that we now date before Christ. All these years after Christ, we label as years after Christ's birth. This year is the 2025th year after Jesus Christ was born. We call it 2025. He's changed the world forever. Significant moment time. It's the moment we're celebrating tonight. Jesus' birth is a Kairos moment. As a church this month, we've been listening to Matthew, the former tax collector, like an IRS agent. Matthew, the former tax collector, tell the story of how Jesus was born. And again, Matthew's trying to say to his readers that Jesus Christ is the legitimate one who's going to change the world forever. Now, as a church this month, we've heard how the wise men have come to King Herod. And they've asked the king, where is he born, King of the Jews? King Herod doesn't know. So what does he do? He invites some of the religious leaders, the religious shepherds of the nation of Israel, and he says, come and tell me, religious shepherds, leaders of the nation of Israel, where are they to be born? And we find their answer in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. The religious leaders say, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. For a ruler will come from you who will be a shepherd for my people Israel. Born that holy night, a ruler, a shepherd for all the people. Now, the thing about Kairos moments is that we can miss them. And you can zip right through your life missing these Kairos moments and just cruising on. But if we pause, if we stop, if we reflect on them, they have the potential to change the trajectory of our life. God invites us. He meets us. He's doing something in each of us, in each of you, through these Kairos moments. It can change the trajectory of your life. What will King Herod do in this Kairos moment? There the wise men are in his throne room asking him, where is the promised one to be born? What will the religious leaders do, these shepherds of Israel, in this Kairos moment? They know where Jesus is to be born. They tell the wise men. What will they do? Well, if you're familiar with the story, you know that the religious shepherds ignore Jesus. And King Herod tries to kill Jesus. But the wise men go and they kneel down and they worship him. Mary, Jesus' mother, ponders all these things in her heart. She just sits with that Kairos moment. And so tonight, I want to do the same thing. Let's join Mary, and let's just spend a moment pondering, slowing down, wondering about what this Kairos moment means for us. The claim of the scripture is that Jesus is the ruler. He is the leader. In fact, the claim is that Jesus is the king of the entire world. That's a pretty big claim. If Jesus is my king, that means his plan is more important than my plan. His will is more important than my will. His vision for how things should be is more important than my vision of how things could be. If Jesus is the king, then that means my response is to kneel down, is to actually worship him and to obey him and to listen to him and to attend to him. That's the response if Jesus Christ is our king. Christmas is a Kairos moment for anyone who has never yet accepted Jesus as their king. And tonight we have that opportunity. You know, Christmas is also a Kairos moment for anybody who, like me, has been following King Jesus, but regularly, all too regularly, tries to take back control and make myself king again. This Christmas, I invite you to pause, to lay down your crowns, to lay down your pride, to lay down your insecurity, to lay down your anxieties, to lay down your need to control your life, to lay it down. Lay down your rejection and your disbelief, and to worship King Jesus. You know, the claim of the scripture is also that Jesus is a shepherd. Not just a shepherd. The shepherd of the whole world, the guide for the whole world. And if Jesus is the shepherd, then he knows what I need more than I know what I need. The sheep don't quite know how to live and where to go as much as the shepherd knows how to live and where to go. It means that Jesus knows how to protect me. He knows how to rescue me. If Jesus is the shepherd, then our response is to listen and to follow and to receive what he wants to give us. And I think about this moment and I think, but really, can it be true? And I know I'm a pastor up here preaching, but sometimes those doubts and those questions come into my mind. I don't know if they come into your minds. Can it be true? How can this baby in this Bible story really make a difference in the world and all that's going on in the world, in your life, and all that's going on in your life? He doesn't look like much. Born in that manger with these fearful and in awe parents, could he really be the one? Which is why some people think Christianity is impossible. If you have friends who think Christianity is impossible, you tell them that's right. Christianity is impossible. The story of the baby in the manger that changes the world forever is impossible. Unless God. And if God, then the impossible is possible. If God, then the foolish belief is a rock solid belief. And that's what we celebrate tonight. At Christmas time, Mary, Joseph, and the Magi, they don't know quite yet what is possible with baby Jesus, what he's going to do in their life or in the world. They're not even thinking about us in this room, so deeply impacted and changed by their baby. But Matthew records how the impossible baby Jesus grows up and he becomes the legitimate king and the savior of the world. Listen to this. When you read the Gospel of Matthew, you discover that Jesus lives the best possible life. He lives it. He heals people. He fights for justice for the oppressed. He sacrifices his life on a cross to defeat the enemies of humanity, death and evil. And then he experiences resurrection life, eternal life. Remarkable. Jesus lives the best possible life. He also teaches the best possible life. The ethics of Jesus to receive and extend grace, to stand up for the oppressed, to live a life of self-giving love, to be quick to listen and slow to speak, to serve. You follow the teachings of Jesus and your life will be changed forever. Oh, that our world would follow the teachings of Jesus. It would be a completely different world. Jesus even makes the best possible life possible by forming his church. Jesus has a pretty big space in his heart for the church. Every single church, including Covenant Grove. He loves the church. And he says, this church is the way that my world, my ethics, my life is going to flow out and spread and bless other people. Like it says on the card on your seat, we actually believe that following Jesus, being part of a great church family, is going to change your life. And then finally, Jesus makes the best life possible by sending the Holy Spirit. Wow. You want to talk about impossible ideas. Jesus, before he goes up to heaven and rejoins the Father, he says, receive my Spirit. The Spirit is God's empowering presence on earth right now. And what a belief. This group of Christians here at Covenant Grove, we believe this with all our hearts, that the Holy Spirit, the invisible God present on earth, is actually in us and working with us and moving through us, and it's changing our life. Every encounter with the Holy Spirit is a Kairos moment, and it changes our life. Let me give you a host of examples from just the past 3 months. Host of examples at our church. You probably have many more. Here are some examples of physical healing. Now, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, he doesn't always heal, but he always invites us to ask. I prayed for somebody this afternoon to be healed, and he didn't get healed right then and there, but I'm going to pray for it, because sometimes he does. Mike's eye, we prayed for Mike's eye, and his vision cleared up, and he was healed that same day. We prayed for Mary's hand, and her wrist pain disappeared. Diane's depression is vanished, because God has healed her. Here's some emotional wound examples from just the past 3 months. Because of Jesus' leadership to receive forgiveness and to forgive people, one young man in our church, he went and he apologized to his parents with whom he'd been estranged, and he's on the path to reconciliation because of King Jesus. There's a mom in our church who's now, for the first time ever, making space to process some of her heartbreak with her life group. Life groups are these small groups that we gather and we pray and we support each other. There's a man in our church who has apologized to his ex and has made amends with her because of King Jesus' ethics, because of the Holy Spirit working in his heart. Come back this coming Sunday. In just a few days, I'm hosting a conversation on our stage with 3 people in our church, and we're just going to chat about how Jesus has been a shepherd and a king and has changed their lives. We're just going to hear their stories and have a great conversation. I invite you to come back on Sunday. Mary and Joseph and the wise men couldn't imagine how baby Jesus was going to change their life. And tonight, I don't honestly know how Jesus is going to change my life, and I promise that you don't yet know how Jesus is going to continue to change your life. How is he going to calm your anxieties? How is he going to repair your relationships? How is Jesus going to walk with us through desperate medical situations? How is he going to utilize our gifts and our passions in the days to come? But I've seen how Jesus has changed my life and the lives of so many people. And so I'm here to tell you that what Jesus has done over and over again happens to you. That Jesus wants to change your life forever, through the big Kairos moments and through the little Kairos moments. Friends, could you come on up and take down the whiteboard for me? This is why I included this prayer on this prayer card. Psalm 23. It's a prayer of Jesus being the shepherd, leading you and guiding you. So I hope you take this home with you and just pull it out. And if it resonates with you deeply, just sit with the truth that this card speaks about. Worship team, why don't you come on up? You see, through it all, in all of it, in this whole story, in your whole Kronos life, God is at work in you and behind you, moving through these Kairos moments to shape you, to bless you, and to love you. And so tonight, Friends, tonight we're here to just bend the knee. And we're here to worship King Jesus. And tonight we're here to say, lead me, shepherd. I want to follow you. So friends, maybe there's something in your life. Maybe it's for the first time and you've never placed your faith in Jesus. Or maybe there's just something in your life that you need God's help with. I just invite you now as we think about Christmas coming up, in the quietness of this moment, just to name that to him, just between you and God, you and your King, you and your shepherd who loves you. We'll just take a moment and ask him to do that in us. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus, our shepherd King. Thank you.